and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. We like to see manifestations like that, don't we? Amen. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, the earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still, small voice. I had a terrible time in my dream night before last. Amen. The night before last. And I was in this church, partly finished. They was having church in a little section of it, having a camp meeting-like service. And my son-in-law was in charge, Jim Setzer, and he asked me to preach. And I felt like I ought to preach on the whisper of God. And I picked up a lot of little cheap Bibles around. I didn't have mine. This was all in my dream. And none of them had a concordance that was worth anything in it. And I couldn't find my scripture. I couldn't find my clothes. Amen. And I was having an awfulest time getting out there to preach. And I finally decided I would just quote it and preach anyhow, and woke up. Amen. And I thought I ought to preach on the whisper of God, and so I got me a concordance down, and a good big Cruden's concordance that's got about all the words in it, you know, and it wasn't in there. The whisper of God. And I began to meditate and think a little while about it, and then it hit me, that still, small voice. And one of the commentaries on that voice, as I brought it up in the computer, was a gentle whisper. Praise God. And I looked in Dr. Taylor's paraphrasal, amen, and it said, a gentle whisper. And I thought, that's it. That's it. It's that still, small voice. It was there all the time. And I just didn't see it. Elijah had come off of Mount Carmel, you remember. And the fire had fell and consumed the sacrifice and the altar and the water in the trench around the altar. Elijah had killed the 800 prophets of 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the gold's groves. And so about 850 false prophets were slaughtered that day. And then he told Ahab to get off the mountain and get home, because I hear the sound of abundance of rain, praise God. And out run Ahab's chariot all the way to Jezreel, praise God. And before they got there, the rain was already hitting the dust, praise God. And God broke a 3.5 year drought for Elijah. He saw that hand, that cloud the size of a man's hand. Then he got a message from Jezebel. And tell Elijah that tomorrow, about this time, he said, he'll be like those false prophets. And Elijah struck out running. He had believed God for everything but protection against Jezebel. I don't know why, but Elijah ran 40 days' journey into the wilderness, into Horeb. Amen. He ran without eating. Amen. And fell asleep and woke up, and an angel was cooking cakes on a fire. Praise God. And he ate angel cake. The first angel food cake you ever read about in the world. An angel fixed it. Praise God for Elijah. Amen. He went to sleep again and woke up, and he had some more cake for him. Hallelujah. And he went on the strength of that meal 40 days and nights. Amen. But God said, go forth, stand on the mount before the Lord. One brother, Brother Frank, was talking about trying to find that spring down there close to East Bernstead where he was raised, and how he warned that little guy that was with him, was crawling under that laurel. You stay out there, you watch. He said, there's snakes under there, them copperheads under there, cooling out of the sun. And he said, they'll bite you. And amen, they couldn't hardly find the spring because Brother Frank was afraid they'd step on a rattlesnake or a copperhead. The laurel was so thick. But old Elijah didn't care, I don't think. I think, amen, he would have reached out and hugged an old rattlesnake and said, hello, friend, welcome. Amen, I'm ready to go home. Because he was that discouraged. A copperhead would have been a good friend to this prophet, overworked and discouraged and singing the blues, bless your heart. Amen. He crawled in that cave. He didn't care who was in it or what was in it. Amen. He would have tackled a circle saw. Amen. And been glad to. He was ready to go home. He said, God, let me die. Amen. God said, go forth and stand in the mouth of this cave. Elijah covered his head with a mantle. Amen. The Lord passed by. Great and strong wind rent the mountains, broke in pieces of rocks before the Lord. I always wanted to see a tornado. Never did get to see one. Amen. I drive a few miles to just get to see one. But I never have got to see one yet. Some of these days, I may get my wish. Amen. And won't like it when I get it. Amen. I was running out of gas with my battery. It was shining bright when church started. Amen. I don't know if this will do any better or not. We'll see. Yeah, it's got a little gas in it. Amen. But Elijah stood on that mountain and watched all those manifestations, and the Lord was there. Did you ever go to a service where people were shouting a victory and you couldn't feel a thing? I have. Amen. I've gone. Amen. I've gone to service where people were shouting a victory and God was blessing them, but it wasn't anything there for me. Amen. You know what I needed? I needed to hear that still, small voice. We like to always stay on Mount Carmel, wouldn't we? Oh, yes, we'd always like to see God in that mighty manifestation. Amen. We're people of noise and people of clamor. Amen. And hey, don't we like it? And we think things is getting kind of dead when it gets quiet. But do you know why the prophets went to the desert? He went there seeking God, for there wasn't another sound of life anywhere. Amen. We need today in this busy life with traffic whizzing every direction. Amen. And you can't hardly get anywhere. You go south on 75 and they've got a wreck down ahead and the traffic's backed up. You come north in Kentucky, traffic's backed up in Kentucky. Amen. You get on up in Ohio, traffic's backed up in Ohio. Amen. They told me they faced two traffic tie-ups because of accidents. Helicopter landed right in the middle of the interstate and airlifted somebody out of the middle of the interstate. Amen. Right here on Route 4, it's dangerous to stick your head out. Amen. Right up here at Liberty Fairfield Road, day before yesterday, amen, sirens are going, got up there in a big van and burned right there in a stone's cast of the bank, right there at the intersection. Amen. Come back down the road from that. Amen. And the sirens and the lights. Amen. With a flashing right here at Raggett Road. Amen. Every day there's one here just about. Every day there's one up there just about. Amen. Oh, yes. And all the clamor and the traffic and the running to and fro. You know what we need more than anything else? We need to hear God whisper to us again. I walked in the back of a tent meeting 51 plus years ago. 51 years and 2 months ago. 3 months now. Amen. And sat down on the left side coming in. Somewhere about where Brother and Sister Parker are sitting now. I was sitting on the outside and E.W. England was sitting on the inside. Amen. They was giving an altar call. And a still small voice said, "It's now or never for you." I hadn't heard the message that night. I hadn't heard the preaching. I just heard part of the altar call. I was out playing with the guys. Amen. And that still small voice shook me right down to my toenails. I looked around at Dub and I said, "Let's go to the altar, Dub." And he said, "Go on if you feel like it." You know why Dub didn't feel like it? He didn't hear that same voice I heard. There's one thing about when God whispers in your ear, you know He's talking to you and nobody else. And I'll tell you what, when God whispers in your ear, you better listen. Amen. And usually when God whispers in our ear, or when we get where we can hear Him, amen, it'll be a still, small voice. Some of you are facing trouble and some that are not here in trouble tonight. Some of you are not out of the woods yet. Amen. Oh, we've been blessed by an awesome homecoming. So awesome, and crowds so great, and such a move of God and such great preaching. Praise God. Amen. God just overruled and moved that last night. Amen. And Don Rich and his interpreter preached all the way through to both us and those Hispanics, and every last one of them got saved. Amen. What an awesome meeting. Praise God. And we'd like to stay in that kind of meeting all the time. Amen. And coming down is tough. Oh, I want to tell you, Mount Carmel is a high spot when the fire falls from heaven and God's answering prayer and great things are happening, and you couldn't pour enough water on the sacrifice to keep God from licking it up and burning the sacrifice and consuming the dust around the altar. What a glorious time that was. But Elijah's not got any of that now. Jezebel's henchman's on his trail. He's being sought every direction, but nobody can find him. Amen. They just never expected him, fearless as he was, to run that far. Amen. He got away, but he didn't get away from God. You know what Elijah needed when he saw all that glory and all that power and all that manifestation? You know what he needed to cure his discouragement and his blues and bring him out of the doldrums and put him back on the run for God again and let him know that it wasn't curtains, that there was a future for him? Elijah needed to hear a still, small voice. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come aside from the clamor and the noise and let God speak to you. Oh, I like noise. Amen. That's important in its time. The Bible said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." Amen. I like that manifestation where demons are cast out and where the sick are healed. Praise God. But some of those things can be imitated and have been imitated. Amen. There's men that have walked to seats that didn't have an ounce of God in it. They got good at it. Amen. There's men that have jumped and shouted and stomped. Amen. One man in this valley jumped, shouted, and stomped on the pulpit. It was dangerous to have any instruments around because he would bust guitars and step through accordions. Amen. God wasn't in it. Amen. His own sons caught him in a motel with that woman. Amen. And they whipped up on him. Amen. Him, a preacher of the gospel, he'll revival right here at this church. Those things can be imitated. Amen. But I'll tell you one thing. When that still, small voice speaks to your heart, it'll shake you to your toenails. Amen. You'll know it's for you and to you. Amen. And nobody can imitate that. Amen. Oh, I've heard the false prophecies. Amen. I've had my share of it directed toward me as people tried to make an impression on me. I felt like telling them, Tend to your own business. I'm a servant of God. Praise God. Oh, yea, yea, yea. Thou shalt do this and thou shalt do that. Amen. Two preachers in the same church, jealous of each other. Amen. And one of them came to be prayed for one night, and the other saw a chance maybe to get rid of him. He said, yea, yea, yea. Go ye, go, go, go to Africa. And the other preacher knew what spirit it was and who he came from. And he said, yea, yea, yea. Go, go thyself. A lot of things that people can imitate today. Amen. I say that carefully because some of the most timid, backward folks are liable to hear it and get cowed and afraid out of a man's fearing spirit to obey God. Don't you do that. Amen. If you got the reality, let go and let God have his way. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you know what? Most folks will know the difference. That knows the Spirit of God. We need to hear God's voice in the time of discouragement. Anybody ever been there? Amen. Well, I have, but most of the time I wouldn't admit it. Amen. Somebody told me, well, Brother Collins is discouraged. No, sir, I'm not discouraged. I'm just thinking about resigning and going into all the world to preach the gospel. Amen. Discouraged, nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. But sometimes we need to hear the still, small voice of God. In a time of persecution, we need to hear Jesus say, tell John again and call his name. Tell John again. As John's disciples came, Jesus said, he sent us to you to ask you, are you really the one? He baptized him. He's the one that said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Just a few days before, he had saw that dove settle down on his shoulder. Amen. And he knew it was a sign from God because a still, small voice said, him upon whom you see the Spirit of God descending like a dove, that's him. But now John is being persecuted. He's on bread and water and he's in jail and his life is hanging in the balance. Amen. He's going down and he even prophesied that he would go down. Amen. Oh yes. He said, I must decrease. Amen. But he must increase. There have been a lot of ministries throughout this country if they'd have just been man enough to decrease instead of backsliding. But to come out with all kind of false gimmicks and try to keep pulling rabbits out of the head, had to feed their pink elephants. Amen. Those buildings they'd built, that headquarters they'd built. Amen. Because they wanted to go down in history as so and so and thus. Amen. And God never intended for us to institutionalize our ministry. Amen. Well, Roberts preached in those glorious days, it's later than you think. He's not preaching that no more. Amen. Because he got too many pink elephants to feed. Amen. But he's pulling the most outlandish gimmicks. Amen. Said, God told me that if I didn't get $3 million, that he was going to take me home. Amen. And a dog racer from West Memphis, Arkansas, amen, paid it. If he'd have been any kind of a man, he wouldn't have took it from that source. Amen. Oh, how we need to, instead of feeding pink elephants and institutionalizing ministries, just be willing to decrease at least until God speaks to us. Amen. Hallelujah. What doest thou here, Elijah? Hallelujah. And he said, they've slain your prophets and, amen, they've destroyed your altars and I'm the only one that's left. Take me home. Amen. And the first thing that still small voice said, I've reserved me 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. I got 7,000. God's whispering, Elijah, I got 7,000. What'd you say, God? I've got 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal nor kissed his image. Hallelujah. 7,000. I didn't know that. Praise God. And Elijah began to kind of straighten up a little bit. And he said, I've still got a job for you to do, Elijah. He said, you go anoint Hazael. Amen. That's what I call him. Amen. You pronounce it the way you want to. Go anoint Hazael, king of Syria. Praise God. And go anoint Jehu, king of Israel. And go anoint Elisha to be prophet in thy room. Praise God. Hey, he still had a job to do. He still had something that God was counting on him for. He wasn't done yet. Had to go pour the oil on the head of Hazael, king of Syria, who would be king of Syria. Amen. And God said in whispers, he said, amen, them that Hazael don't slay, Jehu's going to slay. And them that Jehu don't slay, Elijah's going to slay. Amen. And them that Elijah don't slay, Elisha's going to slay. Praise God. Them that Jehu don't slay, Elisha's going to slay. Hallelujah. There'd be a minister yet. We need God in the time of persecution. John the Baptist was being persecuted. Amen. Elijah was being persecuted. And Jesus sent him a special autographed message. Go tell John again. He needed to hear it again. We need to hear that still small voice again. With hearts that's hardened by the din and the noise and the clamor of this world, and contending and vying for place and name and recognition in this world and even in the politics of the church world. We don't need some man to give us something. We need God to speak to us. We need to hear the voice. A still, small voice. Amen. It's the answer to our hopelessness and despair. Praise God. And let me say this tonight in closing. Amen. We need to hear the whisper of God as we enter the new millennium. The whisper of God is God's panacea for Y2K. Amen. That's what we need to hear. Praise God. If you have to fast and pray and seek God, you get alone by yourself, away from the din and roar and noise, to hear it. Lend your spiritual ears, because God's got a message somewhere, sometime, just for you. And you know his voice when he speaks. I thought in my dream that I should preach on the whisper of God. And so tonight, I'm doing it. Amen. I'm preaching how that we as preachers, in order to be effective and have a future, we need to hear the voice of God. We as laymen, deacons, teachers, Sunday school superintendents, elders, amen, we need to hear that still, small voice. I don't know if it'll come in a song. Amen. Sometimes it does. Amen. This farmer decided, amen, if God would take care of this problem, that this new calf, he'd sell it and give the price thereof to the Lord. Amen. And time rolled on, and the calf was growing up, but he had never done it yet. Amen. And he walked into church one night, and they were singing Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory. And the half has never yet been told. Amen. When he walked in the door, all he caught was, the half has never yet been told. The only thing he heard was, the calf has never yet been sold. Amen. God spoke to him through the song. Amen. And he got under conviction and kept his vow to God. Hallelujah. How much fruit do you expect out of your fruit trees? Huh? How much? How many tomatoes do you expect off of your tomato vines? Huh? How many? Amen. You gonna let the vine keep part of them? All of them. Amen. That's how much fruit God expects out of us. All of it. How much fruit do you expect from your apple tree? You're going to let the apple tree rake in a whole bunch. Put it in the bank for the last days? Amen. Huh? No. Amen. If you own the apple tree and the apple tree produces apples, you'll take care of the apple tree just as long as it's producing apples, and you want all the apples. Amen. Tithing was a good doctrine for the Old Testament, but it's a place where the children play around. In the New Testament, that's just a good starting place. God wants all the fruit. Amen. Jesus commended the widow woman because she gave all her living. She's the only one that passing the offering pan that gave all the fruit. The rest of them had plenty after they'd donated a penance to God. Amen. Yeah. Amen. My loud voice is talking to you, but you ain't going to do no different until God speaks to you the still small voice. When you do, you'll be like Millard Scott down at Cumberland, Kentucky. He said sometimes what he called a clever spell. And God told him to kill every chicken in the yard and feed it to the preachers. Amen. And he killed all the chickens he had and gave it to the preachers. Praise God, and fed it to the people of God. Amen. There's a lot of times, you know, people grumble and gripe about giving to God. Amen. You're not giving what you ought to give till you give it all. You ain't going to live long. Amen. And your tree's going to be blessed, and God's going to keep it healthy and make it a whole lot bigger. And first thing you know, you're going to have more fruit, amen, that you can take care of because you gave. Amen. God wants all our fruit. God wants our best. Hallelujah. He don't want us holding back or hoarding anything. Praise God. He wants us to give it all. Be a blessing. Amen. What did you plant that tomato vine for? Amen. To give you tomatoes. What did you plant that peach tree for? That grapevine for? To give you peaches and the grapevine grapes. Amen. God gave the grapevine power to produce grapes. Amen. And you go out and do you leave about half of them or nine-tenths of them hanging on the grapevine? No. Not only that, you pick all the grapes off the grapevine. Amen. You take a pruning knife and prune that grapevine back so it'll produce more fruit next year. Amen. You take a lot of the limbs off of it. Brother Collins, it's just money, money, money. You take offerings all the time. I ain't never took all you got. You give all you got. It's because God spoke to you with that still, small voice. Amen. They're having revival in Acts of the Apostles, praise God. And things are getting rough in the revival. They didn't have enough to eat, praise God. And you know what they did? Somebody heard a still, small voice. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4. Read it. They parted their lots, sold their possessions, brought the price thereof, laid it at the apostles' feet. Amen. He shook the tree real good, and God got all the fruit. Amen. And the camp meeting went on. We've got too many worldly dreams, too many earthly schemes. Amen. There's too many things that we're looking for on this side, and we're not laying up enough on the other side. We need to learn to put God first. We was here for one reason. We live to give. And if we ain't giving, we ain't living. You're just deceived. Amen. Your brain's warped because you've missed God's divine purpose in your life. Amen. God put us here to give. How much? Our all. Amen. Put God first. Give Him the first and the best. Amen. And see if He won't bless the rest. Let's stand and let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, touch our lives, Lord God, that we might tune our ears one more time. That still, small voice. I ask in Jesus' name. And I thank You for it, Lord. Somebody's discouraged. Somebody's in trouble. Somebody's really been going through it. Lord, they're way down low. It's affecting their testimony. It's affecting their service to God. It's affecting their health. Lord, let them hear the still small voice that brings healing and help in Jesus' name. And wait upon the Lord. Ah, yes, it'll be worth it. Worth the waiting when He passes by. Worth the waiting when He speaks to our need. Worth the waiting when He speaks the miracle that we desire into our lives and into our hearts. Praise God. Come on, children, take your liberty. That's what the altar's for, and it's yours. Hallelujah.
To me, He whispers sweet peace to me. When I am cast down in spirit and soul, He whispers sweet peace to me.